You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Danny Willett claims his second European Tour title of the season at the Omega European Masters.
Great day, delighted. A lot of nerves going on, obviously, it's always tough winning. It's been a phenomenal year so far, obviously two wins and good performances on, in World Golf Championships and majors. Hard work's paid off and now we're just going to try and kick on again.
We'll congratulate Danny Willett live on the show in a few minutes' time. The Englishman finished on 17 under par in Switzerland, one shot clear of compatriot Matt Fitzpatrick.
Put a good score in and Dan just did one better, and you've got to take your hats off when that happens, really. So pleased for him and it's been a good week all in all for me.
So a full review of the Omega European Masters is on the way, as well as a look back at the Senior Open Championship from Sunningdale, which had a surprise winner. We'll look ahead to not one but two European Tour events this week, the Soltire Energy Paul Laurie Match Play and the Madeira Islands Open Portugal BPI. Hi, I'm Dan Roebuck and I'm joined on the Race to Dubai show this week by John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
For me, age, remarkably well.
Great to have you on the Race to Dubai show. John, we are going to reflect on the Omega European Masters. Of course, first of all, Danny Willett holding off Matt Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton, two Englishmen. It was a 1-2-3 from England in Switzerland. Terrific performance from Willett.
Yeah, it was. Bogey-free final round. You'd have to say he's shown the form in the Open Championship because it's his second victory of the year, but Danny Willett now looks to have moved up a gear for me. Matthew Fitzpatrick, I have to say, fantastic performance because he's missed quite a lot of cuts this year. Former US amateur champion. Big day for him, really, to A, try and get his first victory, but B, really, secure his card. One goes with the other, but the victory would have been the thing that he would have liked. But Willett, really, he's been playing really well. Loves the golf course. If you look at his scores in recent years, he's been in the 60s an awful lot. He did shoot 71 third round, which is only one over par. Bit blustery, bit tricky. But nevertheless, he was still in contention. Got in the last three ball with Jacquelin and Fitzpatrick. And in the end, I think the turning point for me came at 13 when he drained it from about 40 feet at pace, because that would have gone 5, maybe 6 feet past. And that gave him just that little bit of an edge, which he then got over the line with by one shot.
Are we starting to see Danny fulfil his potential? Because he was leading amateur, wasn't he?
Well, he was world number one amateur. I think he got to about plus six. Fulfil his potential. You judge by wins and majors. He is a very good, consistent player now. The next level now, obviously, he got into contention at the Open Championship. It was a good week in the end. He didn't get the victory, but he showed himself that he belongs in the higher echelons of the game. And he's into the top 25 in the world rankings now through that victory. And he's only 27. It's a distant memory to you, Dan, but and of course you had hair then. But yes, I think he's certainly fulfilling his potential.
It was a different type of win to his win in South Africa earlier this season as well. He had a fair advantage going into the final round earlier on this campaign. He was nip and tuck with Matt Fitzpatrick. We had that run from Tyrrell Hatton as well.
Yeah.
So he had to keep his nerve, a different type of success.
Yeah, but also when you're getting pushed by somebody or a couple of people, it brings the best out in you. I mean, Hatton shot 29 twice that week up in the mountains on the front nine. And actually, yesterday, he needed birdie finish to be the first man to break 60 on the European Tour. It didn't happen. But for Willett, to be pushed and kind of stay in there, that's what they live for, rather than limping over the line. You're better off somebody coming at you and keeping yourself focused. And I thought he was brilliant. He didn't birdie 18. He didn't hit a great second shot, but he hit a great lag putt. And then Fitzpatrick had a putt to tie him, which he gave a good run at. Hatton, unfortunately, wasn't able to birdie the last, perhaps ask a final question. But no, 1-2-3 Englishmen up in the mountain. It's always produced a lot of drama in that tournament. The crowds were fantastic.
55,000, a record week, incidentally. And I'm pleased to say that Danny Willett, our winner from Switzerland, joins us on the Race to Dubai show. Danny, congratulations on your victory.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well done, Danny. Very good.
Yeah, it was good, eh?
Yes, are you still in the mountains doing a bit of yodeling, or have you come down the hill?
It's funny, actually. I'm actually packing up the house because we're moving this week.
Where are you moving to?
Well, I'm actually moving in with Mum and Dad for a few months.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. Think how nice your shirts will be.
Exactly.
Danny, a bogey-free 65 to win the title. That must be satisfying.
Yeah, it was very good. Very much in control of my emotions in my golf game, and everything kind of went, as easy as it possibly could have. Fitz played great golf yesterday, which was probably better for me. It meant that we had to we really had to keep pressing and we couldn't do anything. Obviously, Tyrrell making a fight towards the end as well. So, no, it was just a great week all in all.
How relieved were you to see that putt going at 13 that was travelling like a beauty as it got to the hole?
It was where it's funny. I've had about 25 feet every single day there and left it 2 foot short every day. So I thought, well, we might as well give it a little bit more. And I give it a little bit too much more, but luckily that's why the hole's there.
You mentioned your battle with Matt Fitzpatrick. Matt, just 20. Do you think your extra experience told down the stretch?
I don't really know, to be honest. I think Matt didn't really do anything particularly wrong. I mean, it was one of them really where it was just, you know, it was just we both played very good golf and I was fortunate enough on the day to come out on top.
What is it from Yorkshire then? Because you don't live that far apart, do you? Are you more Rotherham, he's Sheffield?
Yeah, I'm more Rotherham side, he's more Sheffield side. But I don't know, I've always enjoyed that golf course. I think the grass around there reminds me of similar grass to the golf course I play at. So I don't know if that kind of helps a little bit to see lines on greens and things like that. But yeah, I don't know, it was quite a nice English 1-2-3.
It was, and it was a Yorkshire 1-2, and it pains myself and John because we're from the right side of the Pennines, of course. But never mind. What are your reflections on the Open, Danny? Because it was a quick hop from St Andrews to Cronsnoe-sur-Sierre. Very different, of course, up in the Alps.
Yeah, it was tricky. It was luckily enough, we got back on about midnight on the Monday, and we were fortunate enough to have a plane from Doncaster to Sion. So the travel time was actually less than probably what it usually is up there. But just prepared really well for the week. Obviously took the golf game that I'd played with the Open at, thinking a few bits. You know, obviously trying to get the ball flight up a little bit, but it was nice to keep the good run of form going.
And of course, top 25 in the world rankings now. That must be very nice.
Yeah, I've just had a look this morning. 24.
You're just above me.
It's good. It's just, you know, all year really, we've just kept chipping away at the race of Dubai and obviously at the world rankings, and it's just nice to see it kind of on a nice slowly upward in trend. So it's very very pleasing to see.
Will I be seeing you at the driving range in Rotherham in the near future?
You will be. I'll be up there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, you can buy me a coffee then. Thanks.
Danny, we spoke to you after your first win of the season when you kindly came on the Race 2 Dubai show, and great to have you back. And we talked about your targets for the season and how you could plot your way around the year. What changes now? Does anything change now because you were where you were anyway? Is your schedule going to stay pretty much as it was? But when you look to that top of the Race to Dubai standings, you're not too far off Rory. What are your thoughts now going into the final few months of the season?
No, we've given ourselves a fantastic opportunity now. I mean, Rory's obviously, no one's quite sure how long he's going to be out for. Lewis took full advantage out in the US Open, in the Open. I've luckily now just jumped Lewis again, you know, back on top of him. So it depends on what happens with Rory, but me, Lewis and Rory now we're a good bit in front of a lot of the guys. So yeah, I guess we're just going to have to see, obviously, how long Rory's out for and then, you know, we've still got to chase him regardless. We're still a bit behind.
And of course, when it comes to that PGA, we're at Whistling Straits. We had European success, of course, the last time the PGA was held there, the US PGA there. Do you know anything about the golf course? Are you confident going into the final major?
Yeah, I played that golf course in 2010 in the US PGA. So it's a good golf course. Linksy set up right in Lake Michigan. So, no, could be in for a really good week there. Like I said, the golf course sets up very good for Europeans, which is obviously why I think you saw Kaima do so well last time.
Danny, many thanks for joining us on the Race 2 Dubai show. Been an absolute pleasure to speak to you once again, and congratulations once more. Have a great end to the 2015 campaign, and we'll speak soon.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well, for Danny, it was his second win of the season, as we know, his third European Tour international schedule victory in his 180th European Tour event. It's his fourth top five finish this season on the European Tour, and he's now been placed in the top 10 six times overall from his 14 events. He's up to 24 in the official world golf ranking from 32nd, and he now has amassed over €7 million in European Tour official career earnings. Let's hear now from Matt Fitzpatrick, who was runner-up in Switzerland. He shared the overnight lead with Willett, but a final round 66 saw him fall just one shot short, and Fitzpatrick thinks that he couldn't have done much more.
Played to try and win, and again, played good, put a good score in, and Dan just did one better, and you got to take your hats off when that happens, really. So, no, it was very impressive. There were just a couple of turning points, I think, in the round where almost decided it, but sort of matched him coming in, and been a good week all in all for me.
Obviously tied third in Austria recently as well, second place finish here. It's just moving in the right direction now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really pleased with my week this week. Played well, and I feel like I've been working hard on my game, and hopefully it's shown that the rewards are there, really. So at the end of the day, it's still my first year on tour, so I can't say I'm like ready to win, you know. It's a learning curve, and I am still only 20, so hopefully I've got a lot of time over the next few years to keep competing, really.
Matt Fitzpatrick speaking with Mark Tompkins. Has Matt, John, found a little bit more consistency recently? We heard Mark talk about that third place in Austria because he was missing one or two cuts earlier this campaign.
Oh, he's missed a few, but, you know, some people found the feet earlier than others. I think he's made decent progression, to be honest. He's got a lot of expectation on his shoulders.
Because of that US amateur win?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you win the US amateur, that is a huge, huge tournament in the amateur game. And then, of course, there's been other players that have won the amateur championship and the US amateurs who have had stuff put on their shoulders about how good they're going to be. And basically, they end up not being. So I think this guy's... I think he's different gravy. I thought he acquitted himself very well indeed. It's just that Willett, you know, one shot over four rounds is nothing. A quarter of a shot a round. I think he slap himself on the back and go, well, I put myself in there and I didn't back off. So he's got the experience now. And he will be one that wins for me, and it could be this year.
Well, Tyrrell Hatton made it an English 1-2-3 on 15 under after closing with a 62.
Over the moon with that. It's my lowest score on the European Tour, so to do it on a Sunday at this place is very pleasing.
It steps, obviously, at the moment. You're still fairly relatively new to the Tour, but if you keep playing this way, you must feel that a first win is not too far away.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I've been up there a few times now, so we're getting ever closer.
Yeah, best round of 62 on tour for Hatton. Not a best finish, though. He was second earlier this campaign, but you do sense that a win is on its way.
Well, it is. The one thing he seems to have done is calm down. He's a bit hard on himself. He doesn't seem to be that hard. He's obviously got a great game and likes being involved in the right end of the tournament. So he's got to take the positives out of it, you know, not sort of I finished third, which is a great result. I've not won. He's got to take the positives that he's had another good finish and he's edging in the right direction.
Well, there were plenty of low scores on the final day of the Omega European Masters. Hatton had a 62 to finish third, as we know. Pelle Edberg shot a Sunday 63 to claim fourth. Lahiri, 64 for fifth. And Sergio Garcia, a 64 for sixth place. And the Spaniard got a great reception from the spectators around the 18th green.
Yeah, well, I've been living here for 13 years, so it looks like it. No, I was doing great. I was really impressed how many people was following this week, and yesterday especially was a lot of people, and today obviously too. But yesterday playing on the last group of the 10th tee, I saw a lot of people, and it's great to see that.
He's an adopted son, isn't he? Sergio Garcia played well once again. Kronk, can we see him getting in the winner's enclosure sometime soon? Could he secure success at the next major, maybe?
I'd like to think so, but he's hit the crossbar a few times. I mean, he's a great, great player. I think the biggest hurdle he has to come over is himself. He's always entertained. And if Sergio didn't win a major in his career, it would be a travesty. But he's 35 years of age now, but he's got so much talent.
We need the top 10, John, of the Omega European Masters.
Well, I bet you do, but it goes down quite a long way. Quite a few tied 10th. Richie Ramsey from Scotland. Marcus Chenault, the amateur, played very well again, led the Nordia a couple of weeks ago after two rounds. Richard Green and Robert Dinwiddie and also Christopher Broberg, they're tied 10th. And 9th on his own, Rickard Karlberg from Sweden. Then 7th tied, Raphael Jacquelin, Florian Fritsch. Then 6th on his own was Sergio Garcia. 5th, Anaban Lahiri. 4th, Pelle Edberg. Massive step to keep his card, €135,000. 3rd, Tyrrell Hatton. 2nd, Matthew Fitzpatrick. And his 3rd win, Danny Willett.
And there was some decent tipping in the Omega European Masters from the boys on podcast duty last week. Richard Kaufman went for Anaban Lahiri, who was 5th, 12 under. Alan Tate, Raphael Jacquelin, tied 7th, 10 under. Matty Adams picked out Danny Willett, the winner, on 17 under. So well done, Matt.
That's brilliant tipping.
Puts us under a bit of pressure for our selections this week.
Well, it's quite easy this week. I've got the winner.
OK. More on that shortly. Fantasy Race to Dubai news next. David Miller had the most impressive week. His Menomen team featured Danny Willett as star player and won over 1.5 million points. Overall, it's James Catchell who's top of the standings. He has the only team so far to amass more than 24 million points. But with 17 events left in the season, there's still plenty of time to catch him. To check out the Fantasy Five to watch this week at the Saltire Energy Paul Laurie Match Play, go to europeantour.com from Tuesday. And to pick your fantasy team, just go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Let's move on to the top 10 Race to Dubai standings, Mr. Hawksworth.
Right, well, it's still led by Rory McIlroy. Second now, Danny Willett. He led it earlier in the year. Third, Louis Oosthuizen. Fourth, Bernd Wiesberger. Fifth, Brandon Gray. Sixth, Justin Rose. Seventh, Byung-Hun An. Eighth, Tongchai Jaidi. Ninth, Anaban Lahiri. And 10th, Ross Fisher.
There was another big event this week as the Senior Open Championship presented by Rolex at Sunningdale was won by Marco Dawson. The American produced a stunning back nine fight back to finish on 16 under to overcome European Ryder Cup legends Bernhard Langer and Colin Montgomery. The American sank an 18-foot birdie putt on the last hole for a round of 64 to finish one shot clear of defending champion Langer, who also closed with a 64, while Montgomery was a further two shots back. So success for Dawson, and it's been a long time coming.
I can't tell you how many hours I put out on the range, and I've had two back surgeries to prove it. So I've spent a lot of time on the range and on the putting green over the years, and you know, it's a little later than most of the guys, but it came true. This year I won earlier this year, which gave me a lot of confidence the rest so far through the rest of the season. And you know, when I got to this point 2 days ago and I had a good first round and a good second, I thought, okay, you know, maybe this is going to happen again. We'll just keep on making the swings and try and make the putts. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. I just made one more putt than Bernhard.
Dawson, the Senior Open Championship winner, the 51-year-old's best finish, incidentally, in 413 events on the regular US PGA Tour, was runner-up in the 1995 Greater Milwaukee Open. Some players, John, get better with age.
Yes, they do. And what a victory. I tell you, that was a tough week weather-wise. They had a lot of rain delays towards the end of the week. It was windy, it was cold, the golf course changed completely. But to play like that on the back nine, incidentally, that birdie putt he held on 18, had he not, because Langer then followed him in, so he would have tied. But it was a great event. Langer's amazing. Monty played brilliantly well. I actually thought he was going to win it, and the course was just magnificent. There's no place better in this country, Dan, to play golf.
Meanwhile, Ryan Fox captured a wire-to-wire maiden victory on the European Challenge Tour in Le Vaudreuil Golf Challenge in France. The New Zealander is the son of All Blacks rugby legend Grant Fox. On the PGA Tour, Jason Day recovered from the disappointment of a near miss at the Open to win the Canadian Open by a shot from American Bubba Watson. Day ended the tournament in style by rolling in a clutch 22-foot putt at the par 5 18th for his second PGA Tour win of the season.
Even going back to last week, leaving the putt short and not being able to get into the playoff, really kind of, it was disappointing. It was frustrating and disappointing at the same time. And even though I knew that I played great, I knew that this week was, I had to focus on this week. As soon as that finished, I had to focus on this week. So when I actually had the same putt on the 72nd hole, the same things were going through my mind. Make sure you get it to the hole. And fortunately enough for me, it was quick enough. As soon as I hit the putt, about 6 feet out, I just knew that I was going to come back and go on the hole. And this is why we practice. This is why we work so hard. And it's no better feeling. I mean, it's just amazing. And I'm so happy to be the champion.
Day, who went close at St Andrews, yeah, of course, and very much deserving of a win.
Yeah, absolutely. He's hit the crossbar a few times. I like the way he plays the game. He just hasn't managed to win that major yet, but he's still very young.
Where does Jason Day stand in the world rankings after the weekend's action?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but we'll start in 10th place, which is held by Sergio Garcia. Henrik Stenson, 9th. Ricky Fowler, 8th. Justin Rose, 7th. Jim Furyk, 6th. Dustin Johnson, 5th. Jason Day, the very man, is now 4th. Bubba Watson, 3rd. Jordan Spieth, 2nd. And Rory McIlroy is number 1.
On to this week's action and the Saltire Energy Paul Laurie match play at the Mercar Links in Aberdeen. Let's hear from one of the players in the field, Scotland's Richie Ramsay, who knows the course well.
Great to have another tournament in Aberdeen. I think the Scottish Open at Royal Aberdeen was a big success. I know Mercar quite well. I happen to have the course record there, which is a nice thing to have going into the tournament. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be set up really well. Quite a few people out there with a good field.
He's the Paul Laurie match play, of course, this year. What's his contribution to golf in Scotland been?
I mean, massive. And way back in the day when I was probably 16, I think he won the Yeah, I was 16, he won the Open that year, and it's an inspiration for a lot of kids, not just in the north and the northeast of Scotland, but the whole of Scotland. The amount that he puts back into the foundation is incredible, and it gets a lot of kids involved in golf, and also helps up-and-coming pros as well to get to that next level. So it's another step in the right direction.
You mentioned you've got the course record, but what's your match play record like?
Match play record's not bad. I'll say won the US Amateur, which is a nice thing to do, and you're playing against tough guys there. But around that course, it really does suit me, you know. Got to be really straight off the tee. I played it about a month ago and the rough is very thick, so if you hit any wayward shots it tends to get gobbled up by the rough and you're really struggling for par. A lot of strategy involved around it, you know, those are the sort of advantages I've got, and hopefully I can use them well next week.
It's a new event to the European Tour schedule, John, and one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I like a bit of match play. We don't play a massive amount of it. Of course, the Ryder Cup, there are other events, but I think a regular match play event on the European Tour is, again, a welcome return.
And we've heard from Richie Ramsay there, the course seems to be tough. It's the Macar Links in Aberdeen. It's an old course, been established for quite some time.
Yes, well, they've got some great golf courses up there, natural terrain. And I think, you know, to play on Lynx golf again this time, it's a bit like the grass court tennis season, isn't it? There's a certain time of the year to play on Lynx, and we're right in the prime time of it.
What about the field? Who's rocking up for the match play?
There's 64 of them in the field, but, I mean, Jeev Milkas Singh's playing, Alvaro Quiroz, Robert Carson, former winner of the Race to Dubai, Chris Wood, who's been obviously a winner out on tour. We heard from Richie Ramsay, Mark Warren, Raphael Jacquelin, who's in great form, Scott Henn, the big-hitting Australian, David Horse, who won in Russia last year, and John Daly's playing. Match play may well suit him because he can be prone to taking some numbers, but of course in match play you only lose a hole, not the tournament.
Give us a selection then. Who do you think's going to win?
Mark Warren.
Mark Warren for John. I'm going to go for Richie Ramsay, the man himself, course record holder.
Another Scott.
That's a tick in the right box as well. Finished 68-68 and 10th in Switzerland. My money's down. And there's a second European Tour event this week, John, as I'm sure you're aware. The rearranged Madeira Islands Open Portugal BPI, after extreme weather conditions caused the original tournament to be abandoned back in March.
Yeah, Santo de Serra up in the hills. Lovely golf course. You get some great views. You can get a bit breezy up there, blow your wig off, Dan, but it is a lovely part of the world. Can be a hairy landing into the airport. Oh, I remember a few years ago having four goes. I mean, I wasn't flying it myself. I was sat in about 26D and I thought, he can't find the runway, but it was very breezy.
Opportunity for one of the lesser lights to a certain extent on the European Tour, maybe to pick up a win.
You know, whoever wins it, they get the rest of this season and then the whole of next year, so you can plan. It's a great opportunity. Course is always in magnificent condition. That tournament's been going, gosh, it must be 25 years-ish now, because I remember playing back there in the early 90s, and I always look forward to going there, apart from the landing.
John, we need some Fantasy Race to Dubai tips. Who are you going for this week?
Well, I was going to go for Christopher Brasilia, but I'm going for Peter Lorre, who played nicely in the Swiss Mountains last week. Had a tough time, but he knows the course backwards.
I'm going to select Renato Paratore, the young Italian who
very good.
Came onto the scene with a burst of publicity and has put one or two decent rounds together. Played well in the Alps last week, so Paratore for me. That's all for now. Next week, we'll review the Soltire Energy Paul Lawrie match play and the Madeira Islands Open Portugal BPI. Plus, we'll preview the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But for now, from John Hawksworth...
If you're landing at Madeira, shut your eyes.
And myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye. We'll see you next time.